series on how to develop strong faith. Now, I don't want to be a know-it-all because I do know some of the things that I'm talking about. And so I don't want to say I know everything. I do know how to develop strong faith. And my agenda for you is to develop strong, lasting faith, not just for the next month or two or six or eight, but 5 years from now, 10 years from now, that you've got a thriving faith that is anchored in Jesus, anchored in the reality of God's word that stands the tests of time, because the tests of time come, don't they? And we don't know what they're going to be, but we do know that they do come. And so my thing is information plus action equals faith. Sometimes we believe the wrong things, and I'm going to talk about that, and I have been talking about that, but sometimes we do the wrong things. And so information plus action is equals faith. We talked last week, or at least the last time I was here. I've been gone for two Sundays. For those of you that that don't come every Sunday, a couple Sundays ago, I was privileged to do a Jewish funeral on Sunday morning. The funeral is from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock. And I'd never been to a Jewish funeral, but the rabbi and myself, we did a service together, and it was a wonderful, wonderful time. Beautiful tradition that Jewish folks have. It's just very meaningful, and so I got to be a part of that. And so I got here right at the end of service, and so I wasn't here then. Then last weekend, Pastor Roy spoke, because I had been speaking at a school conference in Tucson, so I finally get back to talk to you. We talked the last time I spoke, whenever that was, is when Jesus made the turned the five loaves and two fish into enough to feed 5,000 people. And he asked them, what's in your hand? And usually we wish we had more. We can't do it because we're not smart enough, rich enough, old enough, or too young, too old, whatever the deal is. And Jesus says, what do you have? And the truth of it is, every single one of us have something in your hand that God can take as little as that is and turn it into exactly what you need. He fed 5,000 with just five loaves and two fish. And we're connecting the dots that today's behavior creates tomorrow's reality. If you think it doesn't matter, it does matter. To our today, our behavior will create our reality tomorrow. So it takes me to point number one. It's in your bulletin there. If you didn't get one, as Jamie said, they're on the back table. Number one, can you recall certain people who made a big difference in your faith? Now think about that for a minute. People like that you would say, man, I'm glad they showed up when they did, or I'd be a mess. Or boy, when they stepped into my life and helped me, and not just your coach or your school teacher that helped you in life, but helped you in your faith. And you could say, man, I'm glad for them. I'm glad for him. I'm glad for her. They came in and they became providential. They want to talk to us about this morning about providential relationships. It might have been a youth sponsor. It might have been a Sunday school teacher, might have been a childhood pastor. It might be a mentor that became special to you. Somebody special in my life were my folks, my parents. They were wonderful, wonderful people of God. And you know, and I was raised in a Pentecostal church in an era where Pentecostalism was austere and was rigid, and my folks never were. And so they helped me through those kinds of. Who remembers old Pentecostal days talk when people were acting crazy? Anybody remember those days? I was raised there. And my folks helped me through that. And then God brought guys into my life. When I was a pastor in Nogales, there was a family in the church that moved to our church, moved to Arizona, Nogales actually, from Florida. And I tell you what, and this guy was raised in Georgia, so he had a Georgian drawl, and I was about 25 years old. And so he was an older man, probably 45 or 50. And I tell you what, and he was just a good old country bumpkin type guy. But he sat down with me, and I got to be friends with him. And he opened the word to me. And I'd been raised in church. I'd been gone through Bible school. And this guy opened the word to me like nothing I'd ever seen. And he became a providential relationship in my life. So do you have people like that in your life? Can you recall who they are? Jeff is here, and his family is here. I remember before Jeff was born, I was listening to Judson Cornwell. Anybody ever heard of Judson Cornwell? Well, he's Iverna's brother, in case you hadn't. Iverna who? Anyway, so I listened to Judson, and he was helping me so much and just feeding my soul, and I just loved it. And so when Jeff got ready to be born, I wanted to call him Judson. And so I suggested that to Jeff's mom, and she assured me that was not a good idea, and so I didn't. But later, when I saw Justin Cornwell speaking at a big conference, I went to him, and I told him what he meant to me and how he impacted my life. And as I told him, I wanted to name my son Judson. Brother Cornwell, that we called it, began to weep and cry of the meaning, what it meant to him. So those people that have meant so much to you, have you ever thanked them? Have you ever by name called them, emailed them? Maybe they're dead, but it was a little late for that. But said to them, thank you for what you did for me. You stepped into my life just at the right time. And without you, I don't know where I'd be. And so I think it's a good idea to do that. Number two, to believe only doesn't make a difference in our faith. Doing makes the difference. James says it. This is the Lord's brother. This is the Living Bible. He says, when will you ever learn that believing is useless without doing? Isn't it nice if all you had to do is believe? Because I believe in being fit. What are you all laughing? I believe in exercise. I believe in eating right. I believe in a good budget. And I mean, if just believing was all that took, we'd all be in good shape, but we're not. I mean, Dr. Oz can tell you how to eat, and I think, man, that's a good idea, and I believe that. And if you eat Twinkies all day, it doesn't do you any good. So believing without action is useless. And James says it's useless without doing what God wants you to do. Faith that does not result in good deeds is not real faith. That doesn't mean you're not a Christian, won't go to heaven when you die. I'm not talking about that. But you want your faith to last. It's going to have some action with it, guys. The truth of it is, you've got to have to do something with what you believe. So believe only doesn't do you any good. Jesus said to follow me, not just believe in me. See, Jesus up front, he says, here's how the deal. He says, you follow me. Not false promises like, and you're going to be really successful, and you're going to be famous and rich and pretty. You were ugly before, but you're going to be pretty now. He didn't say any of that. He said, follow me. Well, where are you going? Follow me, and you'll get there with me. And so, but the church over time has kind of dumbed it down from follow him to believe in him. Because when you just believe in him, it doesn't really require much change. Right? You just kind of, oh, I believe that. Yeah, old pastor, I believe that. I believe you believe. That's great. The truth of it is, when the winds of life come, and they do, Jesus talked about that. He talked about the wise man built his house on the rock, the foolish man built it on the sand. And when the winds of life come, and they do, you've got choices. You can either harness the wind and build yourself a wind turbine and make electricity out of it, or you can fight the wind and get blown over. It's what you do with the wind. It's when the wind comes and you can fight it, or it can fill your sails and propel you. I read A.W. Tozier's book years ago, and I remember he says, one ship sails east, the other sails west with the self same winds that blow. It's the set of the sails and not of the gales that tell them which way to go. The wind blows. How you set your sails. It's either going to knock you over or it'll take you where you need to be. I want to talk about that next week, how to set your sails. And again, I'm not being arrogant. I know how to set your sails. So when winds come, well, pastor, they never come to you because everything always works out rosy for you, right? Sure, believe whatever you want to. But how you set your sails, guys, will determine what those storms of life do to you or for you. It'll take you where you need to be. It'll do for you what you couldn't do on your own. It's the set of the sails. When the wind blows, some ships go that way, some ships go that way. How does that, by how they set their sails. And if you don't set your sails, the wind's going to blow you out of the water. See, faith is like a muscle in that it must be exercised or it will atrophy. Faith is like a muscle. If you don't exercise it, it will atrophy. It will just go dead. And a lot of good Christians, and I don't know if any of you, maybe online, maybe somewhere, are living with atrophied faith. You still believe in Jesus. I mean, we're not going nuts on that. But the truth of it is, your faith is almost dead, and it's not living. And that's not God's plan for you as a pastor. That's not my plan for you, is to have some kind of atrophied faith. A couple weeks ago, we talked about what things that fuel faith is. Number one is practical teaching. And you look back in your life, and maybe it was that church, maybe it was that pastor, maybe it was that friend, maybe that small group that actually made the Bible make sense. And for the first time, you knew what you're supposed to do. And it's that personal, it's that obedient, it's that private issues where you understand what God is wanting you to do, and you start obeying him. And what it does, it grows your faith. When in the private areas of your life, and the Lord talks to you out of his word or through somebody else, and lets you understand, God's not pleased with that kind of an attitude. God's not pleased, but he wants you to do this. And you start doing that, it grows your faith. And the second thing we talked about is personal ministry. When you actually get involved in somebody else's life and help them and see God work in them, it causes your faith to grow. The reason some of our faith never does grow is we're too convoluted. We don't see what God can do in someone else. We don't get involved in other people's lives to help them. But when you do things for the benefit of other people, your faith just flourishes. And that's what I want for you. The thing we're talking about today is providential relationships. And it's those divine intersections. When you maybe weren't even looking for it. When you were just living your life, and all of a sudden God brings somebody across your path, and they are the difference maker for you. And see, and for you to be the difference maker for somebody else, you're not out there looking, who can I be providential to? You're just living your life. You're just walking with Jesus, saying your prayers, going to church, doing your thing, and all of a sudden God brings someone across your path, and you become a providential relationship for them. Number three. Are you with me so far? Okay. Both proximity connections and providential relationships are valuable. Now, so here's the story. Jesus calls Philip to follow him. And Philip says, okay, just a minute. Let me go find Nathanael. He's my buddy. Well, let me just read it in John chapter 1, verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, whom the prophets also wrote. And Nathanael, well, good for you. You know, the one that's been written about in the Old Testament for all those centuries, and the one Moses wrote about, and the ones the prophets talked about, good old Phil. We know Phil well enough to call him Phil, don't we? Not Philip. Phil goes to Nate, and he says, hey, we found the Messiah. And Nathanael goes, great, good for you. Anybody tell you some just incredible news and you didn't want to call them a liar, so you say, wow, that's good for you. I'm so happy for you. So when people tell me, pastor, that's good, I'm happy for you. I know when an old man is being conjured. I know how that goes. And so he says, is Jesus of Nazareth? And Nathanael says, well, are you kidding me? Nazareth? That's Nazareth was like Gila Bend. Pastor, this guy had a thriving business. He did where? Gila Bend. Aho. Whoa, you know, they got trailer parks. Sorry for it, if you all people that may be in that trailer park called Why. Good question. Forget all that. Edit that if you can. And so he says, Nazareth, then Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip, not wanting a theological debate here, and he says, come and see. I don't know, Nathanael. I don't know all that stuff that you might know. And Nathanael almost missed it. So Nathanael goes with Philip and gets to Jesus. And Jesus says, Nate, good to see you. I saw you where you were under the fig tree. And Nathanael says, oh, my God, the Lord's the Messiah. And Jesus laughed and he said, bud, you haven't seen anything yet. You are so easily impressed. And Philip became a providential relationship to Nathanael. And I'll bet you Nathanael thanked him every day of his life for bringing him on, gave him a ringside seat to the unfurling of the kingdom of God by Jesus himself. And Nathanael almost missed it. Almost, oh, come on, don't give me that stuff. I've heard that stuff before. You religious fanatics, blah, blah, blah. But Nathanael, Philip didn't back off. He says, come and see. Come and see. See, it's God's job to create. Now that's, I forget that, I'm going to get there in a minute. Christianity is when Jesus came and Jesus intersected with people and connected them to God. And that's what Jesus has given to us, is the ministry of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, 19 says it, that we are have Jesus' ministry and that we're to announce and demonstrate God's forgiveness to everyone. And we're to connect people to God. We've been given that ministry of reconciliation. We've been given the ability to get rid of that sin barrier. What keeps people from God is their sin. And so Jesus went out in the world and he didn't count their sin against them. So he says, now that's what I want you to do. Go all over everywhere and don't count people's sins against them. Because that sin is the barrier to God. Let them know that God's already forgiven everybody. Well, Pastor, what if they do this? And of course, Jesus dealt with the same thing. They said if Jesus, if he were really a prophet, he wouldn't deal with those kind of people because they're sinners and they do bad things. If he were really a prophet, he'd know that. And Jesus would say, I know what kind of people they are, but he came issuing God's forgiveness. And he says, "Here's that's what I want you to do." And all kinds of Christians are just holding everybody's sins against them. If they live right, wrong, do wrong, think wrong, act wrong, then all of a sudden we've got a litany of things against them. And Jesus said, that's exactly what I don't want you to do. Good preaching, Pastor. Those of you online, you're just missing it because the crowd is just going wild. Even as we speak. To demonstrate and announce the forgiveness to everyone. See, his job gets done. Now it's God's job to create providential relationships. But you can put yourself in the situations for them to develop. See, if I need people in my life, which I do, I have people in my life, I have to become available. I have to become obedient. I've got to risk, if I want to be providential in somebody else's life, I've got to risk sometimes my reputation. I've got to be persistent, be patient, to be filled with grace, for providential relations to happen to you and for you to become providential to other people. I've had pastor friends of mine that mess up morally, do things that they had not have been doing, and the whole world hates them. One guy that was doing that all of a sudden started coming to my church. And I thought, Lord, I don't want to be seen with this guy. Because after all, he did this, this, and this, and he was. And the Lord said, I want you to embrace him. Lord, what will everybody else think? Don't worry about that. I want you to embrace him, and I did. So if you're going to become providential to somebody, it may be a little risky because they may not have the best reputation that everybody around you has. Number four, people drift from their community of faith before they drift from their personal faith. See, I think proximity matters. I want to talk about that for a second. See, the truth of it is people don't walk away from their faith because they heard Richard Dawkins, the famous atheist, talk, and they all of a sudden he gives them a line and they believe all that and they just throw Jesus out the window. That can happen. I suppose it has happened, but it doesn't happen most of the time. The truth of it is, people walk away from relationship. They walk away from their family of faith, and pretty soon they end up that they walk away from their personal faith. Hebrews 10:23 says, let's hold unswervingly. That's an interesting word, isn't it? Unswervingly. How many of you ever drive swervingly? Oh, I do, yeah. I used to have this thing on my car that if you get out of your lane, it'll beep, 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 beep. That thing drove me nuts. So I shut it off. Oh, yeah, and I can drive swervingly and not feel bad about it. I just drive my wife nuts, and she said, what are you doing? I said, shut that thing off. It bothers my wife. Sorry about that. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold unswervingly, steadfast, the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. How do you hang on to that? Verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another onward toward love and what? Good deeds. How can we see? He says, consider, think about it, process that. How we can consider how to spur one another on. not challenge in a competitive sort of way, but how we can encourage one another and spur one another on. It's amazing when I see God's faithfulness in someone else's life, it's amazing how I can trust God with my own. When you hear stories of people, maybe some of my stories, of how faithful God has been, incredible things, all of a sudden you think, maybe I can trust God with my own life. And that's what Paul is saying, the connecting. And here's the famous verse. Everybody was writing this verse to me during the pandemic when churches were shut down. And I'm aware of Hebrews 10:25, just in case you ever thought that I wasn't aware of that. So your emails were greatly appreciated, I'm sure. It says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this preaching. Two people that weren't there. Who's ever been to church when the guy was preaching against people that weren't even there? Anybody? Hey, people that don't go to church. Sorry about that. He says, against the meeting together, as some are the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Your presence here is an encouragement. Our meeting times are not the bedrock of our belief. Jesus is. It's wonderful that we get to meet together, isn't it? Now, online and in person, that's wonderful. We like that. But that's not the basis of our faith, whether you're allowed to go to church or not. The church in Red China, when they banned churches, Christianity, the church flourished. So it's not that we need our holy hour on Sunday morning, for heaven's sake. But it is good to get together. It is good to develop relationship. Our job is really to stay connected. Staying connected to a community of faith really grows your faith. Because God will arrange providential relationships for you that you don't even know that you need. God has prepared some of you. I think God's preparing all of you with life lessons, with experience, the things that you've gone through, the things that God has helped you through, that he's done that, and partly so it could be shared with somebody else, because he will cross your paths with somebody who desperately needs what you have. Because God cares about people, and he doesn't want to see them suffer alone. Some encouraging word from some of us who've been there, done that, that God really will come through. Number five. The relationship you choose will influence the direction and quality of your life. Amen, Pastor. Could you preach that to the young people who need it so bad? Young people, baloney. We all need it. Works for 14-year-olds and 40-year-olds. The relationship you choose will influence the direction and quality of your life. Many, I had a lot of connections. Just let me, I think most of us have too many friends. We're like Facebook. Everybody's your friend. I think we got a lot of connections, but I have very few friends, because I have a few good friends, because a good friend takes a lot of focus, takes a lot of time. I'm looking for people that will sharpen my iron. As iron sharpens iron, so I'm not looking for new friends. I'm not to please. I'm fine. I'm full of friends. So that don't feel sorry for me. Poor pastor, he's so lonely. No, I'm not. I'm a lot of things, but lonely is not one of them. But I've chosen over the course of my ministry friends that will help me become a better pastor, become a better father, become a better human being. And I think you need those kinds of friends in your life, and I think you choose them. If you just go with whatever comes down the pike, I tell you what, you're going to be as crazy as the next guy. Ball player that swings at everything that comes across the plate usually doesn't have a very good hitting average. So here at Life Community, see, I think relationships are more important than content. You don't think content's important? Yeah, it is. I work at this every week. Our children's workers prepare content. Youth prepares content, and it's important. But I'm telling you what's going to help you make it over the long haul is not remembering a nifty little sermon that the pastor preached. What's going to help a teenager in the hour of temptation is not what they learned at youth church or Sunday school class or something. It's going to be relationships that carry you through. The truth of it is, you can turn on your computer any day of the week, any hour of the week, turn your TV on most anytime and hear a wonderful, wonderful sermon, great information, things that are true, but without relationship, you just won't make it. That's why Life Community, I'm glad you're here, but and content is good, but relationships are even better. So people will say, they were there for me. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that from different people about you, about this church. They were there for me. They cared about me. Sometimes when they go and do things they hadn't ought to do, they weren't judged, they weren't criticized, but they were loved, supported, and it made the difference in people's lives. And guys, that's what I want for all kinds of people that are around here, and that's what I want for you, is to be able to give somebody else some grace. Watch Jesus turn them around, and not only for their benefit, but your faith goes through the roof. Jeremiah, come on up. We're going to wrap it up. A simple invitation could position you as a providential person in someone else's life. Pastor, I don't know the Bible that well. You don't have to. A simple invitation. Hey, why don't you come with me to church? Why don't you sit with me? That's not hard to ask. On Saturday night, we've got a parents' night out. We're watching a ton of kids till 10 o'clock at night. Excuse me, free. People come to church from 5 to 6, and we take care of kids till, when I say we, I don't mean actually me, as in we. Till 10 o'clock at night. People go to dinner. They get together and talk. And relationships flourish out of that. And that's what we're about. Well, Pastor, isn't it expensive? Heck yeah. But now that we don't have a mortgage, and that's why we don't. So we can put money exactly into those kind of places. Do you know how much money, I'm not going to tell you, but how much we spend a month for child care? I don't mean children's pastors, ministry, child care. Why? Because we can. Our mission is seeing unchurched people and the next generation become passionate followers of Christ. Old guys like me, we don't need child care. Old guys like me need to pay for it. That's God's truth. So I can become providential as children are cared for and watched. Couples have a relationship. See, I've often thought couples don't need another lesson on church and how to get along. They need time to do it. Time away from these beautiful, wonderful children. They drive you nuts. Simple invitation. Really and truly, online or here, if you're disconnected, maybe you kind of used to be connected, but now you're not. And for whatever reason, there's lots of reasons. Why don't you reconnect? Why don't you reconnect? If not here, someplace, wherever you were connected. If you know someone who's disconnected, who's kind of drifted, why don't you make a phone call? Why don't you invite them back? If you have little kids, invite them on a Saturday. Let them watch your kids. Who knows, maybe buy them dinner, buy them lunch. You might have a providential relationship right before you that you haven't seen. Maybe you've not paid attention to that. And so maybe when people tell their faith story, they'll talk about you. How their life was a mess, and then Fred or Susie or Joe or whatever stepped in. They swooped in and cared for me when I was somewhat unlovable. somewhat uncooperative, that your patience, your kindness, Jesus in you wasn't blown away by that, but your love for them compelled you to become that providential person. That's what I want for you. If you've never opened your life to Christ, or maybe you did a long time ago, but it's grown cold and you kind of disconnected, I'm telling you, bud, you can reconnect right here and right now. It's a matter of opening your life to Christ and say, Jesus, I've drifted. Lord, I'm sorry. I want to come back home. And some days they used to walk the aisles or raise their hand, and all that's great stuff. But you can do that right where you sit this morning. We're going to sing in a bit. And why don't you take that time to open your life to Christ again? And if you do, tell somebody. Tell the people you came with. Tell me. Tell one of the staff. You know, I opened my life to Christ this morning. Let us rejoice with you for the steps you are taking. We would be thrilled to hear that from any one of you. And we all drift. Well, that's next week. Oh, I'd love to tell you, but it's next week's sermon. Consider that. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for these dear people. Lord, and we do believe. We just help our unbelief, Lord. So, Lord, I pray for every person that's hearing me online, that'll hear me on video this week, that we could believe that you're for us and not against us, that you're here to help us and not here to hurt us. I pray that in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Amen. Guys, let's stand. Jeremiah, please lead us.